This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
So we have the final third of our show with Dr. Irina Scott. And once again, her book, published by our friend Philip Mantle, is Inside the Lightning Ball, Scientific Study of Lifelong UFO Experiences by Dr. Irina McCammon Scott, PhD. Irina, go ahead, please.
So I submitted UFO material to 5 scientific journals that were regular journals, you know, the normal journal, and got 5 of them accepted. And so there's definitely UFO material accepted by the peer-reviewed scientific literature. So both of those ideas are incorrect. And I was trying to mention that one idea behind my book was to try to invalidate that idea that science doesn't accept UFO work. And there's been good studies of UFO work that have been done that people don't know about. And so I don't think that the argument that this is unacceptable science is a valid argument.
Before we move too far from the point, that relates to another question we had, and that was from your conic, and he said that in the publisher's description of your book, Inside the Lightning Ball, it says, uniquely credible. It may be the only book having portions accepted into peer-reviewed scientific literature. So he wanted clarification on that, and you've begun with that. And so can you give us an example or two of what sort of study you included and where it was published?
Yeah. I looked at that, and I used the find button to go through my book, and I didn't actually say that in the book. And what I meant was, it applied only to UFOs, not to the whole world of literature. And I had 5 things accepted by scientific journals. One of them was a survey. There had been a publicized UFO sighting in the newspaper, and I surveyed people, another person and I, asking people in that area whether they had seen UFOs. And so it was more acceptable for them to talk about it because it had just been in the newspaper. And I found a lot more than usually reported people saying, yeah, they'd seen UFOs. I mean, they thought what they thought were UFOs, and that they knew people that had seen them. Then in 2 of the publications, I wrote about the appearance of UFOs, and one of them was a picture that I took in Massachusetts, and I submitted that to a scientific society, and it was published. And then I had seen another one with a whole lot of witnesses over the Ohio State campus, and it was quite a long sighting. And I had reports from, you know, PhDs, very qualified people about it, and they filled out reports, and they also drew pictures. And so I submitted that, and it was acceptable. Then I have one about a sound that was heard over about 1/4 of the United States. It was in 1973 when there was a big flap, and there was just this big sound that was heard over an enormous area. And so people said, oh, that's a jet plane contrail or sonic boom or whatever. But it was much larger, and I made a study of that. I was debunked by somebody that, I reported in both the scientific literature and the MUFON journal. And my MUFON journal article was debunked, with the person saying this is a jet, but it was much wider than any jet contrail because I looked into the size of jet contrails, and the person that attacked me had drawn a diagram of what he claimed was the sonic boom of this jet. And his diagram wasn't even close to where the jet was. And so I wrote a debunking article to his debunking article. And another, the last one was a statistical study where there used to, I don't know if there still are, there used to be waves of UFO sightings. Some years there'd be a whole lot, and other years there wouldn't be many. And I studied that statistically with other wave phenomena. And I got a positive relationship statistically with sunspot cycles, which seemed interesting. It was just a certain number of years. And, you know, made you wonder if there wasn't, if there might be something electrical associated with UFOs. Or maybe people see more northern lights and mistake them for UFOs or things like that. I couldn't really explain it, but I did get a positive correlation. And so all five of those were in scientific journals.
Well, that's I'd like to see more of that being published. And I wanted to go back to something you mentioned earlier about how when you're working for the DIA that you weren't comfortable in discussing UFOs because you thought it would you could possibly be fired over that. And, you know, you discussed the fact that scientists do see UFOs, but I think a lot of them, they might not have the same security concerns that you had, but they're worried about their reputation. And you may remember years ago, Dr. Peter Rank, a radiologist, had written an article in the MUFON Journal, and the title I've forgotten. But his basic premise was that for UFO witnesses, we should adopt a model that was more like the medical model, that where you can discuss a case, but you don't disclose the patient's identity. And he was thinking that's what we should do with UFO witnesses. And I thought there's some merit to that idea because sometimes that eliminates the, you know, like the crackpots who are out for publicity. If their name's unknown, well, then that robs them of the reward of hoaxing something. And for the people who, like, well, just any number of witnesses who've been received unwanted attention, you know, this saves them the burden of that, and the case can just be investigated. So I wanted to know your thoughts on that. But along with that, there would need to be some safeguards, you know, like when a newspaper has an anonymous witness, you know, the reporter and the editor and maybe another party know and share the identity and protect it. So how do we make sure that a ufologist isn't inventing a witness? So what do you think about those ideas?
Well, I was suggesting that science very well can study UFOs. And I think the best study ever done was by Battelle Memorial Institute, where they examined the Project Blue Book reports scientifically. And they found several things that, in a way, proved that UFO phenomena is totally different from prosaic, you know, airplanes and everything. It was called, Special Report, Project Blue Book Special Report 14. And it was analyzed by Bruce McAbee. And in this case, they actually studied the reports, and they had a whole lot, like over 7,000. And they took out the good reports from Project Blue Book. And even though they're saying nothing exists, well, they did find positive scientific results. And one of the things they were studying was what was the idea that UFOs result from not having enough information from that they're mis- they're for there just isn't enough information, the real lack of information.
Well, you know, one thing too, lack of information is an excuse to say a case has been explained. But this was a very, very common trick employed by the Air Force in the early days, and certainly a way to avoid the facts. We've got more to come with Irina, Jean, Kurt, You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
ProPure Gravity Water Filters. Most tested, most trusted. The Pro 1 G2.0 filter by ProPure fits most gravity systems and is so easy to set up and use. No priming required. Independent lab tested to NSF standards. Removes up to 200 plus contaminants with Pro 1 G2.0 full spectrum filter technology. ProPure Water Filters. When you don't know what's in your water, start enjoying great tasting water today. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
If you're in the Paracast, indeed, Dr. Irina Scott's joining us, and we're talking about her latest book, Inside the Lightning Ball, Scientific Study of Lifelong UFO Experiencers. And we're looking at the scientific investigation of UFOs. I want to move away from some of what we've been talking about, mostly because we have three segments left, and I don't want to run out of time before we cover everything. Do I take it here, Irina, that you pretty much go with the possibility that UFOs are extraterrestrial visitors?
No, I go with the idea that they may be different things. Maybe some of them are spacecraft. Maybe some of them are something that nobody understands at all. Maybe some of them are black matter or black energy or something like that. They've hypothesized that black matter that life may be formed from black matter.
What do you mean by black matter?
Well, I think I'm using the wrong word. Black energy or whatever, that the universe is expanding, and some say that this is due to black matter or black energy pushing it apart and things like that. I think I'm using the wrong word, though. That there's this black force that it is like matter, but it's something that we don't understand anything about. But anyway, I just think that maybe UFOs, instead of being one particular thing, when somebody makes an observation, it may be something from several groups of things. And like you were talking about the psychic aspects and how a UFO, if you see a object in the sky, like a ball or something, you might say it's a UFO, but just as well you could say, well, this is a orb or a poltergeist or something, and it would be hard to say exactly how you can tell the difference. So it might be something like that. It might be aliens. It might be something from Earth. It might be time travelers and just a whole group of things.
So there is not one UFO. There may be many.
Yeah.
All right.
And they probably have characteristics, too, if anybody studied them that much detail. Obviously, some of them are misidentifications, too.
Do you think we'll ever get a final answer with all this? Because we've gone through all these years, and I've been complaining for too many years, that we haven't made enough progress in this field, and we still have these open possibilities. So do you think science is finally going to get a handle on it, or are we going to sit here from the old age home a few years from now saying, when is this going to be solved?
Well, I don't think there's good scientific studies. And another idea behind my book was, I think you can do scientific studies of UFOs, but instead people seem to think they're spiritual or something like that. And I don't think you need a theory of what they are. I think you just need to look at the data and do a study and compare, like, you know, Battelle did of unidentified objects compared to identified late objects that are identified later and that sort of thing. And you can get information whether you're, even if you don't really have a theory of what UFOs are or any hard data like a landing on the White House lawn or anything like that, you can still explore it. So I don't think there's too many studies going on, and that's why I spent a lot of time in my book talking about science and UFOs and how you can study things that you don't have hard data on. So I think they could be studied, and I think people could get farther along. But if some of them are life form, it might be very, very complicated and hard to do.
All right, so you're talking about living UFOs.
Well, some of them might be.
There's a TV show, cult TV show called Farscape, where all the spaceships, Leviathans, I think they call them, were living creatures, although they look like spaceships. But you could actually talk to them. Maybe, Kurt, do you remember the show?
Barely. I've seen programs like that where sometimes there's even like some sort of mechanical life going on. But, you know, that does remind me of Kenneth Arnold, the famous pioneer in UFOs. He had some additional sightings, and one in 1952 led him to believe that UFOs were living creatures. He compared it to something like a jellyfish, and it could sort of move through the air and change its density, and he thought, you know, maybe even become invisible. So he felt that they were intelligent and alive, at least some of them.
For the sake of trivia, Farscape featured not just human actors and adequate special effects, but also Muppets, and I think it was co-produced by one of the Henson companies or something. Farscape. You can probably find some streaming service still carrying the shows. Reminds me of Trevor James Constable. They Live in the Sky was the book he wrote. At least one of them.
Maybe some part of the phenomena is that.
Well, there certainly doesn't seem to be one size fits all, which I guess makes things well the more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And like that. So that's difficult. Back to abductions very briefly. Do you think abductions are encounters with extraterrestrials or something else?
Well, they're usually interpreted as encounters with ET, especially where people report that they see beings, and a lot of people report that they see small gray beings and things like that. And I don't really have any idea, actually, because I think that the phenomena might be able to make people see things. And you mentioned screen memories. And I was also considering my own data that I thought they had lights that you can't see, possibly lasers, and you can form images with lasers. And so a lot of times they'll say they'll see these like red balls that turn into a creature or turn into Bigfoot or something like that. Well, you can do that with lasers, actually, if you have very advanced technology. And so I don't know whether they're images or something that's put into people's brains. Not that I don't mean people are crazy and imagine things. I just meant that there might be ways to put different ideas in people's minds and that the phenomena might be able to do that too.
There have been a number of people suggest that some UFO experiences almost seem like it's a performance on the part of the UFO or the entity behind it.
Let's continue. That's an interesting idea. With Kurt Collins, Gene Steinberg, our special guest, Dr. Irina Scott. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The president's former campaign chairman has spent his first night in jail. Paul Manafort's bail was revoked after the Russia probe special counsel charged him with witness tampering. In a tweet, the president calls the decision to revoke Manafort's bail a tough sentence. In an earlier exchange with reporters, the president said the special counsel's focus on Manafort has been unfair.
I mean, I look at some of them where they go back 12 years. Like, Manafort has nothing to do with our campaign.
Manafort chaired the campaign over a series of pivotal months in the summer of 2016. He was let go after reports surfaced of his lobbying for pro-Russian forces in Ukraine. He currently faces dozens of charges, including financial fraud, money laundering, and false statements. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So the UFOs are performance artists, are they not, Curtis Collins?
That question's been raised by a number of people. Of course, Jacques Vallée has suggested that, and there have been some people that even described the events in the Rendlesham Forest as it was almost as if it was waiting for an audience to put on a show. So there have been other encounters, that things that have happened that are so strange, and you know, why do so many things happen over highways, and there's all this deserted land but between them? Why does a UFO gravitate towards where a witness is going to see it?
Well, you see, maybe what's happening here is this is a team of extraterrestrial performance artists, and they're learning their craft by acting before primitive earthlings.
Well, that's my 100% theory. No, I tried to discuss that in my book some, that, yeah, it appears that in a lot of cases, they're kind of putting on a performance. And like Dr. Harley Rutledge, she did a really good study of setting up stations during the 1973 flap, where scientists observed UFOs in real time. And he said that maybe they have a sense of humor. And in a number of other cases, like the Buff Lodge by Walter Webb, that it looked like they were putting on a performance. And a number of people have also been stalking them.
The question I have, do they have an alien version of the Tonys or the Oscars? Or the Emmys?
See, that's a mistake that we always make, is thinking that they are relatable to us in any way. You know, so if there is this awesome intelligence, they may be unrelatable, and that's kind of the frightening part of it, that we're just incapable of understanding it.
Yeah, and I was also mentioning that They may be in contact with people, but not your conscious mind. They may be in contact with some other part of your mind, and you just have a few points of knowledge of this consciously, which is a creepy thought. It may be something subliminal.
So you've been published in some scientific journals. I kind of want to ask you about relationship with other scientists. So when you talk to a mainstream scientist and they're willing to consider UFOs, is something like abductions or the paranormal side, you know, are there some things that they just don't want to address, even if they are willing to consider UFOs?
I think that it depends on the person, of course. Some people, like the Harley Rutledge I was talking about, he was a PhD in physics and a professor. Well, he said he saw 160 different, he had 160 different sightings. And in that case, they were scientific sightings because he had stations that were people where there'd be several witnesses following UFOs in real time. And he said he thought it was something subliminal, that there was some kind of communication going on between the UFOs and the people, that sometimes if people shined a flashlight on a UFO or pointed at them, that they would respond. And so he thought there was, I forget what he called it. Anyway, I was thinking interaction or something, that there was some kind of response in the UFOs when the people did particular things. And this is a very scientific study, Project Identification.
In putting this book together, I like to ask authors this every so often. Did something come across in your research that totally knocked you out, something that you never expected to discover?
The thing that I kind of wondered about that sort of knocked me out was that there may be some subliminal component to UFOs where there's something interacting with your mind, but you're not conscious of it. And I think that's the same thing that Harley Rutledge said, that there's something that you just aren't conscious of that's going on somewhere in your brain. And that's pretty scary. I mean, for example, two of my first sightings when I was a kid was I woke up and undergoing a close encounter. Well, that seemed really funny. And in one case, my sister was there, so we both saw the same thing. But it's hard to explain why you would just wake up and there was a UFO in your room or object. You wonder if there's more going on.
Well, I certainly don't wonder here about this phenomenon, because very little surprises me anymore after all these years. And there's one thing here that you mentioned, the chapter. I guess we haven't pushed it pretty much. Chapter 8, behavior, possible psychic phenomena, dreams, mind control, stuff like that. Where do we see mind control?
Well, for example, when my sister and I woke up, something was in our room. We had no idea why we woke up or what was going on or why that happened. But not only did we wake up with something in our room, but we both became terrified at exactly the same time for no reason at all. And I wondered if something was controlling our emotions when that happened. If it just happened to me, I'd still wonder why I woke up and we both got scared at the same time, just like maybe something was controlling us.
And you had no resistance? You couldn't just fight back? Say, leave me the heck alone.
We were terrified. We just ran out of the room as fast as we could get out of the room. And resistance. I didn't know, you know, I still don't know why we were so terrified, but we certainly were. And then in our later sightings, we weren't scared. And it seemed like we should have been scared, too. And in the poltergeist thing, I was terrified, but I went to sleep. And, you know, several times, and that seemed really weird, like maybe something was controlling my mind, which I wouldn't want to happen. So I had some questions about that.
Well, you know, it's just interesting here as we watch the UFO field, how you're covering all the stuff that people don't talk about. Do you find that in looking at people who have had life times of experience that they remember the one experience and they don't think about the others until someone actually thinks to ask them? I mean, that's a bugaboo I've had about MUFON, to be frank. I think they don't look into the family histories as much as they should.
Well, that's one thing I think Bud Hopkins was studying. My sister and I had sightings together. Her kids had some sightings, and he was sort of studying family things. And Kathleen Martin has, I think she's published several things about how sightings kind of run in families, that if a person had a sighting, that a family member may have had one too. I think Dr. Jacobs also wrote about that, about family members experiencing sightings also, besides just the sighter. Somebody wrote about how if you had sightings, it's a possibility your children will have sightings. That there may be some kind of hereditary component, something like that. And I was kind of wondering, because with all the new genetics that they can do, like the DNA tests and things like that, if people had enough information and family histories, and with all the DNA tests they have now, and with people that know about their genetics and family history, there might be some way to set up a scientific study to see if people that have sightings in their family have some particular DNA strand, or maybe even related to other people that are having the same thing.
Just thought of something. But it's also near the end of the segment, so whatever that something is, whatever that something is about, we're going to take a quick pause, a pause that refreshes, and then we'll be back, and I'll persist with my thought and see if it's anything there that should be explored further. We have Dr. Irina Scott, Gene Steinberg, Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we have those commercials for these places that do DNA testing, like 23andMe, and maybe the little feature, a little shtick they can do here is we will also test your DNA to see if you're an alien hybrid or something.
But, I mean, there might be something in common in different people. I mean, 23andMe wouldn't do it, but maybe a ufologist could see if there's common ancestors among people where it runs in the family to see UFOs. It would take a lot of expense, though, and nobody's funding UFO study. That's the main reason there's no studies done.
Well, if you sell it as a mass market product, you know, one test is always going to be expensive. But if you can sell a million, just thinking, you should call some doctors in, some DNA specialists, and get some venture capital. I'm kidding.
Well, it is interesting, though, and it's not the first time that it's been suggested that we study the witnesses instead of the UFOs. And there was something recently from the Pentagon study, somebody from the Bigelow Aerospace Studies, had apparently at the Skinwalker Ranch, they were testing the guards to see what sort of effect the experiences had, you know, what markers that may have left on them. So, you know, that may be a significant portion of the research in the future. You know, I feel uncomfortable about suggesting that humans be used as guinea pigs for UFO research, but maybe that's the, I don't suppose you want to subject them to it, but if they have been exposed, then you test them to make sure and see what points there are in common.
Well, I think that would be a good idea, because now all they study is the size and shape and brightness of the UFOs. Well, they need to study the people, too. And they need questionnaires such as, have you seen one UFO? Have you seen many? At what ages did this happen? Do your family members see it? And things like that, because the experiencers need to be studied just as much as the UFOs do, I think. And nobody's, I mean, Kathleen Martin is doing some, but I don't think there's too many studies on it.
I think we should probe that next time we have her on the show. She comes on every year or so we always have a good time talking with her. So where do you intend to go from here? You've got this book. That's, what, the second book you did for Philip Mantle. What do you have for number three?
I don't know. I have more material. it's more like the first book instead of this one. Some things about Dr. Hynek and some other things about Battelle studies and things that I might look at, but I'm not sure. So I haven't started on anything else right now.
You're recovering from this one first.
Yeah.
Getting over the PTSD.
Yeah.
I used to write assembly line books on consumer electronics, personal computers, stuff like that. And the issue there was I had no time because you'd do a 1,000-page book and you'd have maybe 6-8 weeks to do it. It's not like you're researching. It's like, you know, part one, click on the finder, part two, you know, things like that. It's, you don't want to know. This is not the kind of book writing you'd want to do. It was okay. I actually spent a couple of years there where I had some books that what they call earned out is, you know, or made decent royalties. I was shocked.
I have a tangent on book production. So for years, you were the you helped edit the MUFON Symposium booklets. So I was wondering, were you part of selecting the speakers? And really what I wanted to know is, are there any interesting stories about the rejects?
No, I was the director of publications. I just edited what they had already selected, the writings that went into the MUFON Symposium proceedings.
I've often wondered how I have some of those, and I wondered how many people stuck to the script. Did they deliver the lecture as it was printed, or was there a lot of ad-libbing and different material?
I think it just depended. Some people said that they weren't going to stick to their script, and this is their script, and they're going to say something else. But then lots of people more or less stuck to their script. So I think most people more or less stuck to their script.
Care to mention who Ladd lives a lot?
Harley said that he was starting out with a script and he was not going to say what he had written down.
What I used to do when I do lectures, I only did a few, is I'd have like index cards. Mm-hmm. And I'd lay out the subjects. Then I'd put down the index cards and then an hour later I'd look at them and say, well, I guess I should have gotten to this subject. So I wasn't disciplined enough for that. I could be pretty disciplined, but after I got comfortable at it, I thought it flowed better if I just talked.
Yeah, I just think it depends on, and also their experience in speaking, and I suppose after a while you get used to saying the same thing, and you can think of variations and think of humorous things to add to it and things like that. So I suppose a more experienced speaker probably sticks less to the script than somebody that's beginning.
Also, I think if you're not a real professional lecturer, if you read a script, it sounds stilted. But if you just talk, it sounds more authentic because people say, oh, he's just talking at me. He's not reading off a script. It depends on the person. Some people just do wonderful jobs at reading scripts. Pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say that brings up another issue about we have some of the most talented people as researchers are not necessarily good orators. So they may have, you know, some brilliant notion on UFO propulsion or some topic like that, but they're not good at expressing it. So, you know, and some of the showmen, they hog the stage.
Yeah, that's the trouble. The people that are better at speaking aren't necessarily the investigator types, but the people that are good at speaking get a lot more attention than an investigator who can't do public speaking very well.
I can think of a few examples of both of those, but that might be unkind to say.
And then they can hate you online instead of me, you see. So I should encourage you to do that next time you're on. No, I don't want him to do that. He's laughing because he doesn't know how serious I am. Right? Okay. Very good. Dr. Irina Scott, can you tell our listeners, if they want more information about the things you do, is there a site they can check out?
They can check out my Facebook site, and even if they don't belong to Facebook, they can ask people questions. I have a website that's called irenascott.com, and I think they can probably contact my publisher, but I think Facebook's probably the best way to get in contact with me.
And remember, on Facebook, they're watching you.
Yes,
Peekaboo, they're watching you. That's a song lyric from the 50s, by the way. Peekaboo, I'm watching you.
Yes.
You remember that?
No.
We get into pop culture here. And let's see. I'm trying to see if I can find the song who sang it.
Well, that song, Peekaboo.
Be the Cadillacs, I think.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
If you remember them.
Oh.
I'm just going to look very quickly. Peekaboo by the Cadillacs. The lyrics were, here we go. When you come home from the dance, stand in the halls and make romance. When you do the thing you shouldn't do, peekaboo, I'm watching you. Okay? It's kind of a teenage kind of song.
Sounds like it.
Look in the dark, you see my face. Ah! Don't try to hide, I'm every place. Very cool, kind of sweet. I'm going to give you hot feet. I don't want to do that. Kurt, where can we find more of your stuff?
BlueBlurryLines.com and The Saucers That Time Forgot.
And JimMosley.com.
That's right.
Hey, don't forget that one. Okay, you can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. Look for After the Paracast, our second radio show, only available to members of the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. We offer a version of the show free of the network ads. Prices start at just $1.49 a week, but if you go for 5 years or lifetime subscriptions, free stuff. Check it out, plus.theparacast.com. Thanks, Kurt, for sitting in as guest co-host. Irena Scott, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a great interview.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.